Call this meeting to order and ask you to rise and join me in the pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we have a roll call of members, please?
Yes. Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Ms. Keeper?
Present.
Ms. McAsee?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Klinkelaer?
Present.
Is 14 members present?
Petitions, communications, notices?
Communications are on the desks.
Thank you. We have no special orders of the day, so we'll move to privilege of the floor for the public. We have two people signed up in advance to speak, but others are welcome after that. First, we have Mike Lane from Dryden. Welcome, Michael.
Good afternoon, folks. Mike Lane from Village of Dryden. Couple things. One, every year at the organizational meeting or slightly before that, when you set your meetings, there tends to be some discussion about whether you should cancel this meeting in August. I'm so pleased to see 14 out of 15 members here for the second meeting in August. I think that's a good turnout for you. Wanted to talk about budget for just a minute and say that I know you're looking at your budget with very strong magnifying glasses. We need to get back to basics and do the things that are important for the safety and the health of the people of Tompkins County. In the future, maybe things will ease up a little bit and other things could be looked at, but I know you have some resolutions on tonight that will deal with some of the budget pain that you're going to have to endure. I was pleased to see the regular report in the Ithaca Journal from the Tompkins County Health Department. We don't always say a lot about our health department, but boy, it's always there to make sure that the public safety is maintained. Going out and checking our restaurants and other food service facilities, going back to reinspect when necessary, and for the most part, the report card was pretty good this time. But that's a lot of work. It's something that our health department does for us, and we should keep that in mind. There are other health services out there that it does for us, too. I know they're going to have a new building, which it's time for. But that's one of the basic services that we need. They'll be called upon this fall to do double duty for the flu shots that are going to be coming up. And that, along with other vital departments, need to be supported. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Next, we have signed up Joel Harlan from Newfield.
My name is Joel Harlan. I'm from Newfield, from Newfield State, which is Ward's Trailer Park. There is no buses that come up to that hill to take people down to the city. You have to depend on vehicles or cab or whatever. I think you should go on like what TCAT's got to offer and get these little shuttle buses or something like that going around to reach these people. You got to walk 3.5 miles down the hill to get to the bus station where they can pick you up, or else walk all the way up the hill when you get off the bus to your house. That's all uphill. I'm sure you got other areas, rural areas, not just Newfield, Manfield, but all the rest of the county that needs to be looked at to help people out get to their destination, get to the bus. Because of the miles of area here that the buses are not or can't or won't be able to pick you up. As another subject I'm coming around with is I think what Cal Walker's got about holistic hardware, Joe Holland, which used to be a football player here, he's now down in Harlem, used to be the building commissioner for New York, he's got a program going that's got helping out the people in the low poverty section of Harlem. You know, getting them off out of, you know, getting them an education, teaching them on and showing them how to, you know, get an education or a trade, show them how to clean their act up, apply for a job, get a GED, apply for a job, also, you know, or how to keep a job and how to keep clean to do the job and how to save money. So people won't go, and plus he's teaching them not to go back down to the bottom of the cellar and live the way they were, and but save money and get things they want and not have nothing like they were in the past. I'm more trying to work on this, and I think I'm letting you know about this. It's a good program for drug courts of the city and the county and felony drug court, and also in the alcoholic treatment program. Cal Walker said he's willing to help out, but we got to find a place, and I'm coming to you for advice. And maybe you might have something to go by to get these agencies to work on that. I've already been to drug court, felony drug court, and also I've been to the alcohol clinic. But I'm going back. But I'm going to go to see Rossner and see about it, the city drug court. That's a good program to get, you know, people off the street and get them to do things besides going back to drugs and alcohol. That's what I'm worried about. You got to worry about domestic violence. You got to worry about what's going on in the street. And alcohol and drugs play the role of it a lot of ways of violence. And that's what I'm trying to do is prevent violence. And I see a way of working with it. I didn't even mention it to Marcia Ports, Director of GIAC, and she's interested in it, and she's good friends with Cal Walker. So I think you should this administration should look into more about it and find out more about it and put it to use. Well, go ahead and try to prove that TCAT plan. I like it. It'll help out people who don't have cars and stuff. And there are a lot of people up there in the communities that are stranded up there without transport. It's kind of hard to get downtown to do the daily thing. Instead of being stranded up there, I just thought I'd let you know. It'll come in handy. I like the idea.
Thank you, Joe.
I get about right along with it. Because there is a lot of area out there that buses are not getting to. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Joe. Any other members of the public who wish to speak under privilege of the floor? Seeing none, we'll move to privilege of the floor for legislators, and I'll be beginning with the Distinguished Youth Award. I think Andrew Sternglass is here, and maybe the nominators from Town of Ithaca could come up. It's always a great honor to present the Distinguished Youth Award. Each of us take a turn. I'll just mention that one of the main criteria for a Distinguished Youth Award is selfless contribution or service worthy of note to the benefit of the county community. Marnie Kirschjessner and Herb co-signed a nomination letter for Andrew Sternglass, from the town of Ithaca. And I'll just read a quick few highlights of their nomination letter about why we're giving Andrew the Distinguished Youth Award tonight. Andrew worked for the town of Ithaca back in summer of 2008 on a kind of a paid summer employment project, but he kept his interest in improving the quality of life in Tompkins County, particularly in the town of Ithaca, going. And when he got to the stage of his Eagle project, which is why he's wearing a Boy Scout uniform tonight, he had to find a project to deliver community service. He decided to improve a playground in the Eastern Heights area by a beautification project. And this was not a simple beautification project where you just get a few donations of flowers and you keep it up. Andrew enlisted design help. He enlisted lots of donations. He got volunteer labor. I think there were 10 or 12 scouts who contributed their labor. And, you know, there were shrubs, there's trees, there's perennials, there's benches. There's quite a lot that's going to be a permanent installation in addition to the playground to make it enjoyable for all the residents who ever visit. In addition to that particular project, he's actually inspired the Boy Scouts to adopt a park. So this is now a permanent legacy that not just Andrew, not just his peers, but that troop, I think it's Troop 4 and his Scoutmaster is here tonight, has decided to continue to maintain this particular beautification area of the playground. So this is an example of selfless service, and I don't know if Marnie or Herb, as the nominators, want to say a word, and then we give the award.
I just want to add that a week ago tonight we dedicated that area, and everybody who attended that dedication was just overwhelmed with the beauty of the place. It's in Eastern Heights Park, and we wanted to thank the county because your monies helped provide the funding for Andrew to first work for the town, and then he came back, of course, as the volunteer. And Marnie used those funds to provide a quality experience for Andrew. I wanted to present to Andrew a collage of the work that he and his colleagues did on the project and to thank him for the superb job that he did. Thank you, Andrew.
Your nomination. Andrew, you have a minute if you want to speak as well, but I'll just give you the award. It's the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award in recognition of your outstanding commitment to our community in August of 2009. This is sponsored by Bang's Ambulance, Tompkins County Legislature, Keegan Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, AMB Awards and Engraving. There's a variety of gifts here, including ice cream coupons in addition to the plaque. Do you have a word you want to say in terms of your contribution? Feel free.
Well, the whole experience of being able to go out there and lead a group of people in this type of project was somewhat new to me, and I had to get some help along the way, and then I was able to help lead the group, so help organize them in the tasks so that everyone was doing whatever they had to do, like dig holes for the trees that were planted and the perennials. So, and that was a big experience for me, and I think that it'll be really useful thing that'll help me in the future when I do leadership things like that.
Well, thank you very much. Thank the parents, family who raised him. And, you know, Andrew's from Troop 4. I was in Troop 19 growing up here in Ithaca. We're longtime rivals, but that doesn't make any difference. Are there other legislators who wish to speak under privilege of the floor? Pam McAsey.
Well, in case you hadn't heard, the governor's office has released the regulations, which we have been waiting for, basically designating certain highways as off-limits for through trucking. And, of course, they include Route 96, 79, and 89 in Tompkins County. It also includes other roads outside the county. There will be a 45-day comment period starting sometime next week, and I don't have specific information on it. I've been trying to get it because it's going to be incredibly important for people to write letters and send emails and communicate about these regulations. So I will try and get it on the radio. I will try and get it in the newspaper, and perhaps I will repeat myself at our next legislative meeting because I'll have the information then. But this is a big deal. This has been years in the making. It isn't over yet, but this is an enormous step to try to begin the process of reducing the truck traffic on our roads.
Thank you, Pam. Will Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. I would like to add to Mike's praise of our health department. I had a recent experience I'd like to share with folks. I was sitting at my computer late last week when suddenly a strange creature was flying across my my living room. Turns out it was a bat. And I don't know if anybody has had that experience, but bats are these little tiny creatures that, when they fly, can expand out to a distance of miles, it seems, and they go across. It was obviously terrified, but it was coming through me. I picked up the only weapon at my disposal, which was my computer, which is not an effective bat deterrent. I then retreated and did some quick research and was kind of didn't know what I should do, but I snuck upstairs and gingerly the next morning came down to see if it was there, and my wife Ellie spotted it. It was sleeping in our wall. What do you do? And what I did was I called our health department and found them extremely helpful in terms of guiding me. Bats are very important to our environment. Each bat consumes hundreds and hundreds of insects, flying insects that also attack us. So you want them there, but you don't want a bat flying around your house because some small percentage of them can be rabid, and if they've been in your environment when you have been sleeping, you may have been bitten without even knowing. So the advice from our health department was to try to capture it, and where it was located, I didn't feel I could do it, so they gave me the name of somebody who was able to do it. That person came. Within a half hour, that bat was captured, and then 2 days later, I got a call from the health department that it was in fact not rabid. So, but I just wanted to thank. That's a very important basic public service, and I'm really, really thankful it's there.
Thank you, Will. Carol Chalk.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry they left, because I also wanted to congratulate Casey Carr and Dan Sternglass, our pillars of the community in their own rights, and Dan in particular helps present the fireworks every year, so we all appreciate that. I did want to talk about the city of Ithaca, which is, as we all know, a part of our county, is engaged in a process to look at possible upgrade and repair of the Ithaca Commons. And they are asking for input from the public. So I just wanted people to know where you can go to deliver that input. I think there's a form there. If you go to the City of Ithaca website, to then News, click on News, and then Ithaca Commons Upgrade and Repair, you will see a place to put an input. They have hired a world-famous architectural firm, Sasaki, I think is the name, helping them with that. And for legislators, I will put a form in your box. People who are specifically associated with making tourism decisions, there is a particular form, and anybody who would like to fill out that form can fill it out and send it into the city planning department. Other than that, if it's permitted during privilege of the floor, I would ask Pam to comment. There's been some concern expressed on the truck ruling, the question about the 25-mile detour. And I've been asked questions about, is that something in particular that we need to be concerned about and write in during the 45-day comment period?
May I respond?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, the DOT, Department of Transportation, came up with a list of criteria that they were looking at and to determine what roads would be included in this and what roads wouldn't be included in it. And based on that criteria, the list that they came up with is the list that meet that criteria. So people don't have to worry about that 25-mile, because the DOT has spent months looking at that and have decided this is what they feel is the criteria that best fits, and it works that our Route 79, 89, and 96, and Route 38 all fit into that criteria. So it's not something they need to be worried about. DOT spent many months working on it. Now, I will say that it's possible in all of this that the trucking industry may take us to court or take the state to court because of the regs, and they may fight about the 25-mile limit. But it's not something I think that people need to focus on it. I think they need to focus on the impact that this is having on their lives, on their roads, and on their communities, is what I would suggest.
Thank you for the update. Move on to Martha, and I see Frank in Tyke's hand.
Thank you, Mike. I was very pleased to see that the County Office for the Aging put out a press release about end-of-life provisions in the Health Care Choices Act, H.R. 3200, one of the federal bills regarding health care reform. And this was about, there's been a great deal of misinformation spread around about end-of-life planning. And our Office for the Aging and Lifelong spend quite a bit of time trying to encourage people to fill out healthcare proxies and find and make end-of-life plans so that people families aren't stuck not knowing what their loved one would like to have happen. So the press release points out that the provision in H.R. 3200 is completely voluntary, would authorize reimbursement for one advanced care planning consultation every 5 years. The consultation is not mandatory. There's no death panel, nothing like it, nothing required about it. Medicare would provide reimbursement if beneficiaries voluntarily choose to meet with a practitioner for information about advanced directives, including living wills and durable powers of attorney, etc., a palliative care, hospice, a whole range of things. And I will tell you, as somebody whose mother is incapacitated at this point, it is... We really had to struggle with that, and she had made her wishes known, and so we knew what she wanted. Not everybody is that well prepared, and physicians and nurses, et cetera, don't have the time in their typical practice where a primary care doc needs to see 35 patients a day just to keep the lights on. So this would reimburse practitioners for that time if the client chooses to seek that advice. And by the way, the source of this proposal apparently was Representative Senator John Isaacson, Republican from Georgia. Now, related to that, there is a meeting. Congressman Michael R. Curie is holding a town hall meeting at the Mohawk Valley Community College in Utica tomorrow at between 4 and 5:30 at the IT building. I don't know where that is. But if you get to the Mohawk Valley Community College, I'm sure you can find it. And there's a van going from Tompkins County, and if anybody's interested, they can get in touch with me. So we are really trying to get Congressman R. Curie in Tompkins County, perhaps in the town of Dryden, for one of these town hall meetings before Labor Day. So thanks.
Thank you, Martha. Frank Proto?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of items. First, I want to go back to the trucking issue and the route restrictions. I understand that there'll be a public hearing on the proposed changes. There was some concern about the interstate commerce part of it. One of the issues that was raised was due to people that are farming that haul corn, haul grains that they've harvested. They may inadvertently be included in trying to restrict the trash trucks, and of course they couldn't be specific to trash trucks because that would be restricting interstate commerce. But they blanketed the trucks as far as trucks over a certain size and a certain weight, and the concern was raised about the hauling grains for delivery. So I'd be very interested in what your next report is going to be, Pam. A couple of announcements. Just again a reminder, September 18th is the watch fire in Lansing at Myers Point, and you're all welcome. And October 3rd is the monument dedication or rededication in Stewart Park. excuse me, DeWitt Park, October 3rd. And last but not least, at 5 o'clock this afternoon, all of us that are filing designating petitions are done. Any one of us who is running for re-election should have filed their independent petitions by 5 p.m. this afternoon. Why am I announcing that? Because the public is now going to be treated to about 4 months of aggravation, because they are going to hear from every hopeful, and by this time in November 3rd, the public will probably be so fed up with election news and who's running for office that they will definitely want to speak to each one of us. So congratulations on those that have filed and are running again. And my sympathy to the public, I hope that they can hold up until November 3rd.
Thank you. Is there an opportunity to hear from us?
Thank you.
I take exception to this.
Well, no.
Is there an opportunity to hear from us?
That's Frank, and I think I have Tyke next.
Thanks, Mike.
It's a joke.
You know, every day I think,
come on, Carol. Get with it, Carol.
Every day we read about a housing shortage in the county, and I just wanted to make everybody aware of a viable alternative. On August 25th, there's an open house at TST BOCES from 5 to 7, showing the latest project from that the students built. It's a three-bedroom home, stick-built, a lot of sweat equity between the students and I in this house, and it's a great alternative. You have a piece of land, great. There's a minimum bid requirement. They're looking to get what they have in it, basically. You buy the house, it's supporting a great program, and it's a great starter home or a retirement. I know of at least two in Groton that have been added on, and they're great assets to the community. So come on out, take a look, and put in a bid.
And I live in one of those homes on Christ Lane. Pam Magazine.
I just wanted to make sure that this doesn't still lay out there. Is it the parking regulations only talk about trucks through trucks? So any truck that has local deliveries, milk trucks, grain pickup trucks, fuel delivery trucks, anything like that, they still have a complete freedom and access to all the roads. It's just through traffic are the ones who will be targeted.
Thanks, Pam. And Nathan Shinigawa?
Yeah, and just to add to that, the way that the enforcement works with those trucks is that there's no random checks. Cops can't say, oh, I think that truck is from New York City, and then pull it over. I mean, what happens is that if they get pulled over for speeding or other types of violations, then what happens is that the cop goes, wait a minute, where'd you come from? And then those questions get asked, and if they were found that they were violating these regulations, then additional significant fines are levied against them. And so that's the way it works. So in terms of trucks for local, so there's that local delivery provision, but also people don't need to worry about random checks and stuff happening and them getting pulled over. Because I know that was a big concern, because time is money. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Nathan. Any other legislators wish to speak under privilege of the floor? Well, thank you very much. We'll move on. We have no municipal official. I don't think I see a municipal official here. I thought Herb might stay, but no special topical presentation. So under Chair's report, I just want to take a minute to appreciate our administrative staff and our department heads. This is an incredibly grueling time. Department heads submitted their budget on August 1st, and administrative staff is actually reviewing all those requests, balancing them with our directive back in early May of the 3% tax levy guideline, and trying to do the onerous job of coming at that recommendation and what the impact of that is. So I want to thank Joe and Norma and administrative staff, and also department heads who, on a daily basis, are working with administration and trying to come up with a solution that meets the needs of taxpayers and their wallets. So thank you, Joe, and everyone involved. I have no other report or appointments. Report from County Administrator Joe Mariani.
I have no report tonight.
Thank you.
The calm before the storm.
Just the bags under your eyes. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I have no report.
And David Squires, Finance Director.
Briefly, I wanted to, I put in your box, hot off the press, the guidelines that are starting to come out about elected official reporting for retirement purposes. There's a form model sample log, and there is a sample of a resolution which the legislature has to adopt, which also has to be posted on a website, which shows the title, the name, the standard work day that's been established, the term of the employee, and whether or not there's a log on file. And the question was, could you start it soon? Well, the regulations say, and this is the interpretation, which I guess is pretty ambiguous, other than each elected and appointed official must prepare a record for 3 consecutive months within 150 days of the start of a new term. So perhaps budget season would qualify as, because it's 150 days within the start of a new term.
That's good.
Not quite.
But because we'd start in January, right?
Yeah, 4 months before.
Can you check on that?
That's the issue here, yes.
It's in there.
Budget season starts.
So you think it could, before the start of a new term?
It says within 150 days of the start of a new term.
So it could be 150 days back.
So whether or not, what does that mean?
30 times 4 is 120
days. It's a...
We'll have our committee look at that.
Yeah.
Thank you for the report.
The county audit is going to be presented to the audit committee, and it was supposed to be on August the 24th after the budget meeting, but I was just informed that the budget meeting is not going to happen on August 24th. So I would request that maybe consideration to have that meeting prior to the next legislative meeting on September the 1st. Perhaps at 4:15.
Okay, questions? Frank Proto.
David, are you going to prepare a sort of a checklist for those of us that will have to comply with that filing so that we know what the guidelines are?
You get everything there is published about it.
Because
and what I put in your box is some specific questions that are intended to provide guidance. And
well, for clarity's sake, do all of us that have to file that have to select the same 150-day period? We can select our own 150-day period.
Yes.
Well, this will go to committee.
Yes.
We will draft our own way of proceeding and draft the resolution. Any other questions for David? I saw Will's hand and maybe Jim.
Yeah. You said those were in our mailbox, or are they going to be in our mailbox?
It is in your mailbox.
I did not see that. So.
No, just before the meeting.
Sorry, okay.
Minutes before the meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mike Hattery, did I see your hand? Or? No. Martha.
So 150 days. So the committee, if we're going to start logging, how many 150 days?
5 months.
5 months. So how many days do we have to log? 3 months?
3 months. Yes, a 90-day period.
A 90-day period. Okay.
I see Jim consulting calendars. Are you considering that meeting? Are you going to announce it later on in terms
I'm
of...
I'm sorry, I was...
chatting.
Not paying attention.
I assume what David just said,
the budget
meeting is canceled on the 24th. Do you think
that's
you
right.
might have it on the 1st then?
That's right.
Okay, so we'll wait for further information, but that's likely. Looks like it's likely?
Very likely.
Okay.
The audit committee? Yes.
Great. All right. Any? No further questions? We'll move on. I don't see any other staff needing recognizing. Probably here for some resolutions. So we'll move to resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda. Frank?
I'd like to withdraw resolution F.
Okay. That is now off. And... There's an appointment to be added, Martha?
Gina Newland for Family Court Advisory Council.
Okay. Is there a second to add that? Frank Proto? I don't think we need discussion. All in favor of adding that to the agenda? Is anyone opposed? That's now on the agenda. Is that consent? Okay. You intend that to be on consent, Martha?
Yeah.
Okay, we have that consent.
That's okay.
All right. Thank you. So we'll move to the consent agenda. These are resolutions not expected to be controversial. They can pass in a single motion. I'll read them. If you want something pulled off, please let me know. For appointments, under Family Court Advisory Council, we have Gina Newland, who just added. We have Deborah DiBartolo, Trudy Pentalia. Under Stop DWI Advisory Board, Matthew Cockman and Deborah DiBartolo. For Personal Emergency Response Service Advisory Board, Joan Murphy. And this one I'd like you to pay attention to in case you want to have it pulled off. Our representatives to the Greater Tompkins County Health Insurance Consortium, as discussed in committee and recommended here, are Anita Fitzpatrick and Steve Estes as alternate. I'll proceed on.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure that people understood that the resolution
C,
that there was a revised version in your packet, in your red folder.
Okay, which was
apparent.
Some significant revisions.
No significant revisions.
Okay, so it's still on consent. I'll read it in a minute. If someone wants it pulled, right, they'll announce it. Moving on from appointments to the actual resolutions. Resolution A, off, okay. Under Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution B, this is amending Resolution 104 of this year, award of tourism capital grants. And Resolution C, which we just mentioned, it's a revised designation of Tourism Promotion Agency for state fiscal year 2009-2010. And that is our consent. Who'd like to move it? Will Burbank and Pam Mackesy. All in favor?
All right.
And are there any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to committee reports. I'm trying to see what... I think we'll just go straight through the regular order, unless someone in the back raises their hand and wants to be moved up. Budget, Capital, and Finance Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
Yes. Resolution A got pulled. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It did.
All right.
That's correct.
Well. I would move Resolution A authorizing Municipal Electric and Gas Alliance Mega for request proposal for outdoor solar products on behalf of the county and authorizing the inclusion of all political subdivision and districts within the state to participate. And I would move that.
Second. It's moved and seconded by Mike Hattery. Is there discussion? Dooley Kiefer.
I asked to have it pulled off because I did not find any information at the legislative office that gave me any reason to think that MEGA has some expertise to choose among the varied technologies used in outdoor solar products. And if they just intend to make a list of everything that's for sale, I don't find that worth doing. If they do have expertise to choose among what's out there and recommend certain things for certain reasons, that might be useful. But I'm not, the MEGA that I know doesn't have that expertise. It's very different to go into the market for electricity and gas when what really matters is the price of the unit and whether or not in the case of electricity, it's generated by clean sources. Solar products are much more complicated technically.
So that's been pulled off so someone can vote against it. Is there further discussion?
I would like, if anyone can address my concerns, that would be great.
No, I cannot address your concerns because I just heard about them now. And clearly, Barbara was at our meeting, and it would have been, I think, proper at that point or at some point since the meeting to address them to her. So,
Barbara
Blanchard. From Mega.
From Mega.
Well, what did she tell you about who would review the products and how they would be chosen?
Well, there's a committee of people, an organization that that she mentioned that I thought almost everyone who's been involved in this when it was formed knew. I think Stu is involved. She's involved.
I'm familiar with Mega. Yes.
Okay.
But their expertise is not.
She did not say anything about that, Julie.
Okay. I'm sorry to vote against it. I would very much like to support something like this, but it just is not clear what they're going to do.
I remember from a presentation at NYSAC in early part of this year that they were planning on offering a smorgasbord of alternatives, everything from big panels to small garden lighting. I don't know if they were going to actually exclude certain things, so I can't answer your question. What? Any further discussion before we vote?
No. That's okay. Please support this.
All in favor of Resolution A? And opposed? That passes with one opposed. Thank you very much. And on to Resolution D, Jim, for your additional report.
We're on to D now?
Yeah, we're on committee reports.
Oh, okay. All right. Extension of 1% sales tax for 2 years, increasing taxes on sales and uses of tangible personal property and of certain services, and occupancy of hotel rooms, amusement charges pursuant to Article 29 of the tax law of the state of New York, in order to extend the effective date through 11/30/2011, and I would move that.
So moved and seconded by Martha Robertson.
Except I think the title's too short.
is there discussion?
I think it's boilerplate.
Frank Proto.
Traditionally, I voted against this extension, and Nancy Schuler, a former board member here, and I were very much opposed to this because it went back to another era. However, I think we've been impressed with the fact that our sales tax revenue is certainly down, and I think if anybody missed that message, they haven't been listening to Joe. Sadly, so I'm going to break my streak and vote in favor of this, and I hope that the state of New York goes along with it this time.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Dooley Kiefer?
I just have a couple of questions. I wonder why the ending date is the end of November. It's not the state's fiscal year. It's not ours. Does anyone know why it turned out to be that?
Jonathan? I do not.
Jonathan, you aware?
Well, they all are that. Because that's what the state gives you, and I don't know why they do it on that schedule, but that's the schedule they do it.
Okay. It's not. All right. There's no reason.
Okay. Yeah, well, no reason.
Right. It makes no sense, but it sounds like a good reason.
Right. But you have to realize that they're doing them all pretty much at the same time, so I don't think they want to be out of sync with everybody else anyway.
I wasn't suggesting that. I was just curious. The other thing that I would ask about is the very end of the resolution, section 4, letter B. There's something which is not a sentence, and I wondered if some words are missing, or is that really what's intended?
A certain section is being amended, and that amendment B is being placed in a section. So section 4 describes...
It looks like that's the entirety of the section, letter B. That's what didn't...
I think it's
fine.
Simply changing a date. And it's just kind of adding that to a pre-existing section in state law at present, if I understand correctly. Is that accurate, Jonathan?
I think that's accurate.
Okay. Any further questions? Are we ready to vote? This is on extending our sales tax 1% till November 30th of 2011. All in favor? Is there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you.
And on to E. And
let's see, where are we? It is
All right. A resolution E, addressing Tompkins County 2009 budget challenges through a temporary amendment to the county's rollover policy for fiscal year 2009, policy guidance to the county administrator, and authorization budget transfers recommended by the Director of Finance. And I would move that.
And seconded by Mike Hattery. Is there discussion? Carol Chalk and then Mike Sigler.
I have a question. The second to last resolved, the last sentence of that reads, this amendment shall sunset at the end of the county's 2009 fiscal year. But it isn't clear what it is amending, and my understanding is this is an amendment to the usual practice, or is this
to our
an
policy.
Amendment?
To a rollover policy.
In the title of the to a temporary amendment to the county's rollover policy.
Which is part of our fiscal policy.
Okay, and so, okay, then my question is this a practice or an actual written policy that we are changing?
Both.
Okay. It's an actual.
We're changing the wording to the policy and the practice that follows that. There's procedures.
Okay. Thank you.
Further question? I think I saw Mike Sigler's hand. Did I see your hand?
Yeah. I'm not going to vote for this, and here's why. The flexible hiring freeze, we already have that. So I mentioned before, we kind of talked about this 2 or 3 months ago. We actually passed a resolution, whereas every open position within the county is now reviewed. And that, in effect, is a hiring freeze. So the reason that I don't like that in this resolution is eventually we will pull out of this, of the recession, and then we'll say, well, good, we can eliminate the hiring freeze, and now we don't have to obey this policy that we passed anymore. That's my main concern. We have a good policy in place, so I'm not sure why we're trying to reinvent the wheel here. We've already done this. This also sends the message that I don't know, has this legislature been sitting on its hands for the past 6 months?
No.
We haven't. We actually did take proactive measures 6 months ago, or I don't know how long ago it was now, but let's say 6 months, maybe 4 months, that said, listen, we understand that there's a problem. We need to put something in place so that as people leave the organization, as they retire, we don't automatically replace them because we understand we have this fiscal crisis. And it seems to me that this resolution says, well, we didn't really do that. And we did do that. So I don't think you give yourselves enough credit, kind of, with this resolution. You have taken measures. Some of the other stuff in here I think is fine. The rollover policy, I see a much broader discussion there than what we're doing here. I understand it's for 1 year. I would like to see what the input of the department heads for us when you approach them about that, because I know you have. So if you could speak on that, Joe, that would be great. And that's really about it for me for right now. So,
thank you, Michael. I see Leslie's hand next.
So my final question is one I wanted to ask. What was the response from department heads on the rollover policy? And then secondly, I wasn't sure what the first and second resolve have to do with the title. With amending the rollover policy, and this speaks to all of the other actions. So something needs to change out, that the title needs to include that we're having additional actions for the budget challenges. This is not just a temporary amendment to the rollover policy that it's resolving here. It's resolving a couple of other things.
All right. Joe, why don't you answer the first part of that question, and if you have an answer to the second, go ahead.
Sure, and I'll try to answer Mike's along with the response to Leslin. First of all, with respect to the rollover policy, that obviously has been a discussion point with department heads. I described it at committee as something that there's no love for, but there's an understanding by department heads that this is an extraordinary period of time, and we need to do extraordinary things this year to make sure that we can keep our overall budget in balance. So again, there was a great deal of interaction with department heads. They are okay with this. We made it very clear that we're not removing rollover that's been accrued in prior years. We're not taking back what's been generated. Nor are we saying this is going to be a permanent change. So we're acknowledging this is extraordinary, and again, the feedback from department heads was candid, to the point, good, and I think we're at the point now where they've accepted this, and they support what we're trying to do. With respect to Leslin's questions about what, and there's kind of a couple of things in the title of this. The first is actually a policy amendment. That's the rollover policy. That these savings generated in the personnel lines will drop to the county's bottom line and will be available to help us balance the county budget, as opposed to being held in a rollover opportunity for the department. So that's the specific policy change, and again, it's for the period of 2009. The second part of the title, which relates to the second part of the resolution, again, also speaks to Mike's issue about these other parts of policy guidance. And you're right, Mike, a lot of work has been done throughout this county to tighten the belt. And Mike acknowledged earlier the work of department heads in doing just that and being very restrained in the way they spend. What's intended here is for the legislature to go on record to say we are in a very difficult period of time and we do want a very restrictive approach toward hiring, but we're also aware of the fact that there will be times when you must hire. You'd be crazy not to, because it's either going to create large overtime exposures or a risk to the public. So that's where the flexible freeze comes in, and it's also, again, getting the legislature on record that we want vigilance in the way we sign off. Same thing with the equipment element here, that before we buy a piece of equipment that costs over $2,000, let's make sure it's essential. We acknowledge that sometimes it will be. So there's the flexibility in that. So those are basically the areas that we're talking about in here, both policy and policy guidance that we're asking for in the resolution.
Does that answer your question, Leslie? Do you want to continue?
This is just a follow-up for clarification.
Go ahead.
So the first two resolves are what the policy guidance to the county administrator is addressing?
Yes.
Thank you.
Correct.
I'm going to come back to you in a minute, Mike. Martha?
A question to Joe. You had said at the budget committee meeting, or Jim, our budgeted roster for this year was something like 778.
Yes.
Is that FTEs?
That was 778 FTEs. And when I'm sorry, go ahead.
And we're down to like 732 or 736?
736.
736 currently working for us, FTEs.
That's correct.
And that includes grant-funded and state reimbursed and all categories, but those are the bodies, those are the FTEs that are here. So that's the work that, you know, the department heads have been doing, and that's the... On your memo that follows the resolution, that I understand that's the $800,000 personnel-related savings, basically is related to those positions not having been filled. And so I think these things, this resolution mostly makes sense in context of the following resolution, following memo, and all these transfers. I wanted to ask about the transfer sheets. Is there any reason for the italics? Does that mean something?
I don't know.
I think it's meant to separate broad departments so that your eye doesn't get trapped between mental health and Office for the Aging, that's all.
Well, I thought that, except that the youth services wasn't the talent item.
It has no substantive distinction.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
I have Dooley, then back to Mike, and then Carol Chalk. Dooley.
I have some separate questions, but looking at the budget shortfall sheet that Martha just referred to, at the very bottom of the initial block, there are two prior year settlements referenced. I wondered if you could just say which year was which, if you know. Or if you could provide that would
be
good.
I'll have to get that to you later.
That's fine. What I'm more concerned about is to see if I understand what the third resolved actually means. That's the personnel-related savings generated by county departments that would otherwise be preserved for rollover purposes. That's what you said the departments aren't happy about, but they accept and understand.
I assume that at budget time, we would still be allowed to use this money that's now in the general fund to fund any of the department's original purposes, if that's what seems important to us. Is that right?
These are savings that are accruing this year.
Mm-hmm.
So until the year ends, we won't know specifically how much is being accrued, so we wouldn't be putting that into play as a part of the 2010 budget. I think what you're referring to is there are prior amounts that have been earned by departments in rollover accounts that would be available to apply in 2010.
No, I was talking about this money. So this won't be available to us to consider for 2010 because you won't know the amounts of budget time.
That's correct, and I think that's traditional.
That's our practice. Mm-hmm. Right. So, wait till it's certified.
So I have one other request then. Could you please break out the details of the $800,000 personnel-related savings so that we know how much comes from which department and what they were thinking of using it for? That would be very useful for me to know as I think about the budget for next year.
I think we can, I know we can answer the first question. The second question would be harder in terms of where the department's thoughts were, but we can certainly go to work on the first and try to answer the second, too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dooley. I have Mike Sigler again next.
Well, just a quick question. I mean, I do definitely agree with the clawback of the rollover. I mean, it seems like that's a wise thing. With the whole hiring soft freeze, we've cut 52 people in 5 months. I mean, that's 10 people a month. I mean, if you were to look at any government program, I think that'd be a success. I would like to see us just keep doing what we're doing there. In another 3 months, we could be down to 700 people, and we're in pretty good shape there. I mean, when something's not broken, I would prefer not to fix it. My main question to wrap up, though, is can you explain to me how we're going to see savings with the expenditures over $2,000, though? Because everything's already been budgeted for this year, so that money presumably has been spent. And if there's an expenditure over $2,000 in the upcoming budget, I'm pretty sure we're going to see it and we can reject it out of hand. So I'm not really sure how we're going to see savings there.
Not in the 2009 budget, but right. Joe, you may want to answer.
Well, we're not clawing it back. I guess I'm a little...
Right. It is generally a part of a belt-tightening message and exercise. So what we're saying, Mike, is if it's over $2,000, David Squire's office will pull that aside. We will look at it. We will question the department to make sure it's essential. If it is, it'll go forward. If it's not, it's money that will be saved in 2009.
Okay.
Now, we're not clawing that back and bring that into our general fund, but it is going to be money unspent this year and can come back into play in the future, either as rollover or just for general county purposes.
Okay.
Next, I have Carol, then Jim Dennis.
Okay. I generally do support the notion that we need to be doing this kind of belt tightening, and think that these specific measures are good and appropriate. I am still a little bit bothered by the kinds of questions that are coming up, just in wording. And so I would just offer I'm uncomfortable with having a resolved in any of our. Resolutions that aren't very clear about what they are. So I'm going to offer just a very brief amendment of my own, just on that one tiny point that I raised that I hope will be considered friendly. And I am concerned that we this is something it would be good to be in agreement about doing. So I hope that other people who have raised these kinds of questions, does the title agree with the clauses, would offer similar changes. So the amendment that I have, and I have a question about the time period, but first the amendment is, so I hope that I can come back to that. The amendment is just in the second to last resolved, I would like to say this amendment to the county's rollover policy shall sunset at the end of the county's 2009 fiscal year.
Right, that was moved by Jim and seconded by Mike Hattery. Is that friendly?
Friendly.
Amendment to the county's rollover policy being a bit more clear there?
Say it again.
This amendment to the county's rollover policy. I just want to add the words, to the county's rollover policy, shall sunset.
The last sentence of the second to last resolve, just clarifying which amendment it's referring to. It's trying to be exactingly clear.
But it's in the title of the resolution.
She's asking, could that wording be added as a phrase? Is it friendly?
Yeah.
And is it friendly to Mike? Okay. That's now in. Thank you.
Okay. And then in terms of this time period, I want to make sure I understand Mike's objections and that they've been answered. Is this third resolved substantially different from what we've already passed?
Third resolve. That's the one we just spoke about.
Yes, in terms of the sorry, not the rollover.
I was going to say, yes, it is.
It's the first
different.
Resolve. The first resolve, the flexible hiring freeze.
Substantially depends on your interpretation. It's somewhat different because it enforces authority with Joe in this that kind of amplifies what he had before. Joe, do you want to speak to your interpretation of that?
Yeah, that's it. I think the original plan back in the spring expressed the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish. We're tightening our belt and being more restrictive when we hire. This makes it very clear that we're in an extraordinary situation, and kind of the default option here is not to fill, and that's a strong argument made to fill it. So I think it makes the point very explicit, and the legislature is on record in support of that. That's
okay. Is your question answered, and are you done?
And then, I want to make sure I understand. Of all of these, the only one that sunset that ends at the end of this fiscal year is the third resolve, the one about the rollover, and all the others provisions here would continue until we choose to undo them.
I think that's correct as written. I'm going to move on to Jim and then Dooley.
Wait, did I get an answer?
No.
Is that your interpretation, Joe?
Well, I really think the intent is to help us get through this year.
Yeah.
So my perspective on this was these are actions that would occur during the course of 2009. Now, I don't think there's anything in there that explicitly sunsets the policy guidance. And if that's not clear, then I think it's fine. Our focus right now is trying to keep 09 in balance by these items that are in this resolution. So if there's a desire to make it clearer.
I think we have to interpret that until we take an action to change this, it does not have a sunset in the language at present. We have to assume that. Joe's intention has been made clear, but the language will persist. I have Jim next, and then Dooley.
Well, to me, it's like an outline. There's big Roman numeral 1, and then A and B under that, if you do that. The major thing we're trying to do is to suspend the rollover policy. And then things within the rollover policy are flexible freeze, equipment purchase, hiring. There were three things we were trying to do. And I think that's what the resolution accomplishes. Interestingly enough, when Mike was mentioning, we managed to delete 52 FTEs or a number, and we would continue to do that. Why don't we just keep doing that? I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that starting in September and October if you want to take that opportunity. All of you will get that opportunity. And they're not going to be invisible people.
Let me ask Joe to clarify the numbers. I think the numbers are a bit off based on this conversation.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that on the record we're clear about numbers. Martha was correct in saying that the budget provided for 778, I believe it's FTEs. Last quarter, we reported there were 748 filled positions. That was the first quarter report we gave. The second quarter report showed that we were down to 736 positions. So that's the progression of numbers. And the reason that that's important is we went from 748 to 736 after that policy change was put in effect, where we signed off on the filling of vacancies. The important note there is, it isn't because of a big red pen in my office. It's because department heads got the message that things were getting tight, and they didn't submit requests to fill unless there was a strong argument to be made that this is an essential position. I think that's what's happening within the organization, and that's what I would expect to after this is passed.
Just to clarify Mike's earlier comment, it's not 52. It was what's on the roster is not what was filled.
Right.
So it's really 748 down to 736, Mike. Jim, you had a quick comment?
I think all of you who've been listening since the spring, all of these things have happened at warp speed. The money going away, and you know, we started out with something March, April, May, and now we're down to a point where we finalized what it was that the administration had been working on all that time. And no one is putting this out there as anything but what will get us through 09 and start out in 2010 with a balanced 09 budget, basically. And I think the tough decisions on taking away a hiring freeze, buying equipment, you will all have to make those in the 2010 budget.
All right, we move on to Dooley and then Martha. I'd like to proceed to vote if we could.
Well, I thought I understood the resolution when I first read it, and I no longer feel that way. I read the word temporary, which is in the second line of the title, as a modifying word that applies to everything that comes after it. A temporary amendment to the rollover policy, temporary policy guidance, and temporary authorization for these particular budget transfers. And so that's how I read it, and now I think I've heard that that's not correct. Temporary doesn't or does apply to all of them.
It is unclear. I agree, and we can either add language or we can get in the record that that is the intention of the county administrator without changing the wording. I think Joe has said that's his intention.
So if that's right, then the minutes will reflect that that's
correct.
What it
correct.
Means.
Accurately so.
And I don't feel the need to try to change the title.
That's fine.
As long as I understand it.
I think that's...
I have one other suggestion which may or may not be useful. In the first resolve, which is where the flexible hiring freeze is described, and it's something that we had addressed earlier in the year in a resolution, if in the second line maybe the word formally were put in, the Tompkins County Legislature formally authorized Joe to do this now, whereas the previous resolution was a little vaguer, but maybe that would help.
Jim and Mike Hattery, is that friendly?
Yeah.
Formally, it is, okay?
Is that in the first resolve or not?
First resolve, second line after Tompkins County Legislature, the word formally is inserted before authorizes. I have Martha next, and then I think we're ready for a vote.
Carol's question, I really appreciate Dooley's question about where the positions have been not filled, which departments have useful information. And I appreciate Carol's attention to this time period issue. And I'm sort of struggling, well, should we sunset? I mean, it seems like the transfers are one time.
Mm-hmm.
The policy on both reviewing positions and reviewing excess of $2,000 expenditures. I guess I'm just assuming that within the budget process, the many hours of meetings we're going to have, I would expect that you would report to us at some point on how both of those are going, and then we can sort of, I would expect that in that context, we would either say keep going or ask you to like sunset that for just 2009. So I don't think there's a need to put in a date, but I think mm-hmm. we just all understand this is a story we're going to keep hearing.
And Budget Committee can take it up in December if they need to take continuing action. Mike Sigler.
When the hiring freeze sunsets or when we decide to do away with it, do we revert back to what we have right now? Or will there be a move then to say, well, because I already see us as effectively in a hiring freeze. So if the hiring freeze sunset, what do we revert to? I guess is my question.
I believe we revert to Resolution 44. It still gives Joe some authority. Unless we actually take action to reverse that. So this is just slight amplification of Resolution 44, as Dooley said, a formalization by this legislature. But that The sunsetting of this wording tonight will bring us back to the wording of Resolution 44-2009.
So if a department head has an opening, I just don't understand how this is going to change what we have now. If a department head has an opening, it's still going to have to go to Joe if they think it's that important. And Joe's still going to review it, and if he thinks it's important too, he's still going to come. I don't understand what we're trying to do.
You have a point. I think Dooley tried to meet that point with the word formally. It's slightly nuanced here, and you can decide to vote against it if you want because of that, but I think the intention is being made clear by Joe and the committee, the budget committee. Are we ready to vote? With those small wording changes to Resolution E, all in favor? And any opposed? That passes with one opposed. Thank you, Jim. And you didn't actually get a chance to do your committee report, but maybe that was the bulk of your committee work.
Well, almost. let me say this to you. There will be, and David gave you the preemptory strike on it, the budget committee audit group will meet prior to the September 1 meeting. Norma has told me that all department heads have been scheduled for the September-October calendar, and it was done not easily, but fairly easily. And so everyone is ready to go in September, and obviously the committee will be ready to go, and I hope you all will be too. Other than that, I do not have anything. And there will not be a meeting on the 24th of August.
Okay.
Thank you.
So just to follow up on your last comment, I assume with the budget packet that comes to us on September 1st, right, we'll get that schedule of when committees
yes.
are
and
making public, their
maybe even before that, I okay. think. The budget books will come September 1.
Okay.
There will be an explanation by the county administrator.
Right.
During that time, he's promised me.
So we'll all know if we have to prioritize not reading the whole budget book
right.
at once, which departments are on which days, at which times, and we'll try to get video for people who can't be at the meetings to watch them
right.
afterwards.
And that's a good suggestion, Mike, and I will speak with the administration and see if we can't get that schedule out prior to September 1st.
Great. All right, that's the end of your report. I'm going to ask Planning, Development, Environmental Quality to move up since we do have Ed Marks here for some of those agenda items.
Okay.
Thank you.
I should start with my report. On the committee meeting, we met on the 12th of August. We talked about the tourism budget for next year. This is our second go-around on this, and it appears that we will have a third go-around because we sent the budget back to the Strategic Tourism Board, Planning Board, for some more work. We had we talked about the over-target request by the Ag and Farmland Protection Board. There were several people there speaking. They're bringing it in as an OTR under the cooperative extension budget. And then we just talked about the resolutions that are on our on the agenda for tonight. The only other thing I wanted to mention was that the Housing Oversight Committee, which is the committee that is made up of the city, the county, and Cornell, talking about our the future of this funding, we are making progress. We've passed our bylaws at our last meeting. We looked at a revised NOFA of the proposal and made a couple of suggestions, and we're hoping that will be finished at our next meeting. And we appointed the committee that will do the technical perusing of the people who apply for this money. So we've had a very positive atmosphere, and we've been moving right along. So, so it looks it's great. I think we're going to get hopefully have that NOFA out there, notice of funding availability, just in case people don't know what that acronym is, and in the fall. So this is very exciting, and everybody is pulling their weight, and so we're making good progress.
Thank you. Any questions? Julie Kiefer.
The accomplishments that you listed, are they available in paper form that we could read?
You would like a copy of the bylaws?
Are they in minutes that we could get? Yes, to answer your question, yes.
Yes, we have minutes. Yeah, we have a minute taker, and you would like the minutes?
I'm assuming that everything you mentioned is attached to them.
So. Yeah. Okay, so we should make sure that everybody gets a copy of the minutes. Right.
On to your resolutions.
Okay, my resolution. Resolution G, support for state legislation authorizing municipalities to establish green loan programs to provide financing to residential and commercial property owners for energy efficient and renewable energy improvements, and I so move.
And Wilbur Bank seconds. Is there discussion? Are we ready to vote? All in favor, Resolution G as moved. Any opposed? One opposed.
Get that?
It was Mike Head.
Are you opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Resolution H, authorizing submission of a coordinated grant application to the New York State Environmental Protection Fund 2009-2010 Local Waterfront Revitalization Program for a Cayuga Lake Blue Way Trail Plan in partnership and coordination with Cayuga County and Seneca County, and I so move.
Second. Carolyn Chalk seconds. Here's a discussion. Julie Kiefer.
I wondered if in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th, whereas, which says, whereas a Cayuga Lake Blue Way Trail will enhance the lake's tourism potential by providing a water trail, would the word designated be appropriate to put before a water trail?
I don't know. I don't know.
After the word A?
Yes.
A designated Cayuga Lake?
A designated water trail.
That sounds okay to me.
Okay. Is it okay?
I mean, there are sort of unofficial
maybe
things
would
that
be,
happen now, but this looks like an attempt to make it to regularize and define and provide maps and so forth.
Okay.
That's why I suggested it.
Well, we could say a designated water wake. Never mind.
Is that friendly, Carol?
Yes.
And Pam?
Yes, I said okay. It was friendly. Yes. That's
great,
fine.
Thanks. So keep going.
And I wondered about the possibility of adding a resolve further that this resolution will take effect upon concurrent resolutions from Cayuga County and Seneca County. The kind of thing we do with TC3 where counties have to act and nothing happens until they've all acted.
And it would also be an encouragement for them to act.
Okay.
That's friendly.
Okay. That's fine with me.
Friendly from both. That's the final resolve now. Anything else, Dooley?
No.
Okay, I have Carol waving her hand, and Frank, and then I... Okay, Carol.
Yeah, no, I wanted to speak in favor of this. I think that we have an incredible lake resource here in Tompkins County that is very difficult to use if one does not own expensive lakefront property or expensive boats that can be put in at distant launch spots. And this will help us to identify where people can have access to at many spots along the lake where there might be more public access that we don't even know about to use the lake, both on the shore or to put in a small boat like a canoe or a kayak. The major unmet high priority goal in our strategic tourism plan was increased access to the lake. So I was very pleased, although this did not come out of tourism, I was very pleased to see that this would begin to help to address that and to use state resources to do so. I have heard some concern about whether people use canoes or kayaks or small boats on this big lake that can sometimes be rough, and I can assure you as one who is out there that there are a great number, including not just in the inlet but out along the lake. And I did check, I looked at whether people canoe the Great Lakes, and I found 869,000 Google hits on people who canoe the Great Lakes or hits for how to do that. There's intermunicipal cooperation with the surrounding counties, which I think is a great idea. There was some confusion in committee that I would hope that we could ask maybe Ed Marks, who is here, to clarify about whether this, in fact, is committing any county dollars and what is the nature of the staff time that would be committed. Because as I understand it, our commitment is of in-kind staff time, and I guess I'd just like to ask if we can let Ed comment on.
Sure, that's in the first resolve. Ed, do you want to speak to that?
Yes, the match for this would be in kind from each of the county's staff efforts in the three planning departments. Our staff effort would be, we've talked about that we're still putting together the application for Tompkins County. We're probably going to take on a lead role with the GIS work. We have a GIS analyst in our department who can do that work. And we also will be working on inventory and some of the public outreach efforts. So it's intended to be over two calendar years, so the time they put into it would be divided over those two calendar years and not put any undue strain on the work of the department. This looking into this concept of a water trail on Cayuga Lake was actually in our departmental work program for this year. That was and it was put there in part because the Planning Advisory Board thought this was an important initiative, and that of course was run by the Planning Committee earlier in the year, and the opportunity came up to work with the adjoining counties, and we were encouraged by the Department of State that this would be a good project to submit for funding, so it seemed appropriate to put that so that in 2010 we'd hopefully have funds to move forward with this.
Thank you. I have Frank and then Jim Dennis next after that.
Ed, I want to commend you on being resourceful in trying to bring this type of thing forward. We heard some discussion at the committee with regard to the comprehensive plan, and that this initiative is mentioned, or this type of initiative is mentioned. You know, I didn't support it at the committee for a couple of reasons. Not because I don't think lake access is important or is not important, but we've cut funding. Well, in the proposed 2010 budget, with your department having to come up with the same cut, if you will, or drop in funding as the other departments of at least 6.25%. We've heard that the Planning Advisory Board, the Ag and Farmland Board, the EMC, and the Water Resources Council, just to mention four, will all have reduced staff time allocated to them because of budgetary constraints. In addition, the reason for the Ag and Farmland Board having to put forth through cooperative extension an over-target request, which will come through, cooperative extension, is because the Planning Department didn't want to submit an OTR on their behalf. At the committee, we also heard that some of the staff time that will come for the in-kind time here perhaps might come from Scott Doyle's time, who oversees the flood hazard program. I take issue with that because of the need for that program and the I think, 15-plus years on and off that has been in existence. We can all go back to the comprehensive plan and find different pieces, particularly, and I reminded the committee about the focus on agriculture in that plan and the use of the ag and farmlands economic development piece in the county's own economic development plan through TCAD. I mean, they lifted that right out of the Ag and Farmland Board and used it. And I think that speaks well for the comprehensive plan's use. The concern that I have here is this is a new initiative that you told us about at the committee. Not that I'm opposed to this, and Carol's found 800,000 hits or 800,000 instances where people canoe and kayak on the Great Lakes. There are public access points all along Cayuga Lake right now. They may not be where most people would like them, but there are access points in every single park along the lake as it exists right now. Perhaps there's a need for more. I'm not disputing that. I like Dooley's suggestion that this might only become an active resolution upon the other two counties taking the initiative and passing their own. But I think this is premature. We're about to begin the budget process. We're already experiencing a cutback in staff time to programs we already have on the docket and programs that have proven their worth. And I'd like to mention the amount of money that comes through the Soil and Water Conservation District, not only as part of the Water Resources Council, but as part of their own initiative. Craig Scott has been very aggressive, and he's brought over $1 million into this county. And some of that does come through FLOPA, through the Water Resources Council, which is a program, which is a group that we're proposing to cut back on staff time. My point is, I think this is premature. I think it's worthwhile. I'd like to shelve this at least until we get into the budget process. I don't know what the critical mass is or the critical need is at the state level, whether we have to get in a queue to look at the State Environmental Protection Fund. That may be true. I honestly don't know the answer to that. But another program that we're cutting back on staff time perhaps could be on the hit list. I think we can go back to the department's work plan and find several other instances where there are mentions of things that we ought to be doing. And I commend the state for identifying this as a worthwhile project. And that's great. But we're experiencing a budget process, a budget crisis, some of which has been precipitated by that very state. And I think it's important that we be a little frugal. If we're being asked to be careful in one regard, we ought to be careful across the board. And I certainly would hope, I'd hate to see this fail, although that's what you mentioned at the committee, that you'd rather have it voted down than have it put aside. I'd hate to see it fail, and I wish we could just withdraw it for the time being and see how the budget process shakes out, and at least let the other two counties take the lead and then come back to us with it. Thank you.
That's a lot to respond to. First of all, Cayuga County has already passed the resolution, their legislature. Seneca County has it on their agenda, I think, this week to pass it. So the other counties are, I believe, committed. None of the impacts that we have projected on advisory boards would affect any of the kind of funding you mentioned, Frank, through Water Resources Council or anybody else from state sources. So that's not really an issue here.
Certainly, FLOPA is a state source.
Right, but nothing that we're proposing for Water Resources Council will in any way adversely impact the ability to get FLOPA money. I can guarantee you that. And our staff support for those boards will continue in a way that allows them to function for all the purposes required by state law or in order to bring funds into the community. So there's not going to be that effect. As a planning department, we need to be looking forward and taking on new things as we move forward. We cannot just stay in one place and continue to do the same old thing year after year, or we'd be an administrative department, not a planning department. And this is a priority, again, it's been a priority of the Water Resources Council's Recreation Committee. In fact, I got a call from the chairman as soon as he heard about this, very excited to participate in it. It's been a priority of the Tourism, Strategic Tourism Planning Board, and of the Planning Advisory Board. Those are the boards that we look to for some guidance on these issues, particularly with regard to Cayuga Lake. So, yes, if you don't think it's a good project, I would definitely vote against it as a legislator. We wouldn't suggest this if we didn't think we could take it on. It's not a large component of our staff time, and it is spread over a couple of years, and it will hopefully make a big difference potentially in the future of people's ability to utilize this great resource we have in Cayuga Lake. I mean, I respect your perspective on it, and I don't disagree that you should have that perspective if you feel that way, but that's not where we're coming from.
And move on to Jim, then Martha.
Thank you. The only thing I would say about access to the lakes, I saw a document today put out by Finger Lakes that shows access to the lake, public access to every Finger Lake, and where, and not only state-owned facilities, but other towns and villages who happen to be along the lake, and they have public access to the lake. And if you don't have public access, then you have private-owned property, and you ain't getting over that property unless you buy it or you want to pay somebody to get it. So there's a lot of information already out there about where you can get on the Finger Lake.
I have four more speakers, but Martha and then Mike Sigler after that. Martha?
A couple questions for Ed. I at the committee meeting, maybe it was in the memo that accompanied this, that I don't have with me. I can't remember exactly, what is the state money going to actually provide?
State funding would be for consultant services to put together the plan itself for the Blue Way Trail.
Okay, and so in my little way, it's going to be a matter of like mapping, showing where there are existing access points, and identifying, looking at the whole coastline, and looking at where are some possibilities for others. Because if you're in a kayak, you don't want to necessarily go from Stewart Park to Myers Point. You need a shorter range. Is that right, the sort of idea?
Yeah, in order to have an effective water trail, you need to have access points or stopping points at certain intervals. It'll be inventorying where they exist, where there may be opportunities, how to tie this in with local economic development and tourism efforts, where there could be lodging, food, other services that could take advantage of the people that might use this resource. So part of it also will be the tourism aspect, identifying how this resource might then be part of the tourism marketing efforts in the region.
So the staff time is something that we have to decide to shift from something else to this, but the consultant's time is something we would have no way to pay for. So this is something
right,
we would be able to accomplish because of this proposal at this moment that we can't otherwise.
And I wouldn't even necessarily characterize it as a shift. I mean, it will be accommodated in a work program that we put together in 2010, which we don't have at this point in time. It will, again, I think primarily for us, involve our GIS analyst who doesn't provide any of the other services that have been mentioned here tonight, mm-hmm, that we're having to deal with. So those resources will simply be devoted toward this project and other as a priority during that period of time.
Well, I think it's a great program and grant, and the intermunicipal aspect is really important. I just wondered, does this also involve the regional director of the Finger Lakes State Parks by any chance?
Well, we've had certainly discussions about this concept, and the State Parks is supportive, but what State Parks has said, we can't do the plan. We can help to implement a plan, we can't do the plan.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Martha. Thanks, Ed. We're going to move on to Mike Sigler, then Dooley, then Greg Stevenson. Mike?
Just to clarify Frank's point, how much is this going to mean for us out of pocket?
Zero real dollars out of pocket.
It's just staff time.
Designation of staff time, correct. On to Dooley Kiefer.
The Water Resources Recreation Committee, which I'm on, and to which Ed referred, saying the chair of the committee had called him enthusiastic about this, that committee actually took this on as one of its many projects several years ago. That committee produced a little flyer that is available for people who want to use non-motorized powered craft on the lake, and it's done various things of that sort. But in looking at the concept of a water trail for Cuga Lake, I was the member of the committee who called the Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation to find out what's involved in doing this kind of thing, and are there models for lakes like Cayuga? And the response I got was, it's a great tourism idea. We, parks, would like to support it. We've done it in the Hudson River. It works well in the river. We don't know about examples on lakes. And so in our limited way, we tried to look at what was possible in our portion of Cuga Lake. And the conclusion we reached was that it's not easy to do in this part of the lake. Further up the lake, yes, probably easier, probably better, but we ceased pursuing it. Now, I'm sure a consultant will do a better job than we did. I'm not sure what the results will be within our portion of the lake, how good it will be. I think Frank has raised some really serious questions about whether we are better served by doing this and shortchanging some of what we already have. Ed's response that planning is not a static department, we're not just administering things, I understand also. I'm very torn about this particular resolution. I am supportive of the concept, but I'm not sure our county is going to get that much out of it. So I have yet to decide how I'll vote.
And on to Greg Stevenson, the decider.
That's a lot of pressure, Mike. I'm generally supportive of most of the positive things with respect to this resolution for the reasons that we've all mentioned. Frank did touch on something, though, that kind of concerns me, and Ed didn't really speak to it, and that's flood hazard mitigation. I don't have any constituents who've called me to tell me they're interested in this kind of thing, although I suspect some are, but I do hear regularly from folks with flood hazard mitigation concerns. I'd like to hear Ed's response to the possibility that the staff time needed for this effort could in any way affect the time available in that department for flood hazard mitigation efforts.
Thank you, Ed.
I don't see any effect on that program from this effort. We haven't decided. We haven't gotten the grant, so we haven't assigned any staff to it at this point in particular, other than I mentioned it's likely to have a large effort from our GIS analyst. But other staff, we haven't decided who else might be involved, and most likely it would be a small amount of time from a couple of people, nothing that would interfere with any other primary activity that we will be continuing. Now, there's some things we, in this budget we are proposing, will not be doing in the future. I do believe it's not that program, unless the legislature decides not to fund it, because that has multi-year funding that will have to be renewed at some point. But it would not impact the staff person's responsibilities with respect to that program.
So that's changed since the committee meeting.
Are we ready to vote? No further discussion? All in favor of... Are you... Discussion? Frank?
I'd like to move to postpone this till the second meeting in September.
Is there a second? Will Burbank? Discussion on postponement. Martha and then Carol.
The last whereas says the due date for submission of grant applications is September 14th, 2009. I think that would... We might as well not... submit it.
Our second meeting would be after that. Carol, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, just that since we've added a clause about needing to agree with the other counties, the other whatever Dooley's clause was, about not proceeding with this unless the other counties pass it, it would seem to me that we should proceed, especially since we're hearing that they are proceeding.
All right. Any other discussion about the motion to postpone? Frank Proto.
The reason I'm suggesting that we postpone this resolution is that, regardless of the date, is that we haven't even begun our budget process yet. And while I also respect Ed's wishes and his enthusiasm for the planning department, we also have 26 other departments that are struggling to make ends meet. And we need to really get our arms around what the financial impact, even if it's the minimal amount that Ed described in staff time, which I hope is right, but if we're cutting staff time to four existing advisory boards, I don't consider that minimal. Some of them will have a struggle to continue to do and perform the tasks that they are already performing. So with respect to the department, I think the kindest thing that I could support is postponing this until we at least look at our county budget and the impact of this type of thing. And this is the beginning of what we're looking at for the budget year.
Are we ready to vote on the motion to postpone? All in favor of postponing until September, the second meeting in September? 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? I think that would be 10. That fails. So we're back at the main motion, which is Resolution H. I think a word was added at one point. Are we ready to vote on the main motion? All in favor of Resolution H as slightly modified? And opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That passes 9-5. Thank you very much. Pam?
Resolution I, urging the federal government to implement immediate action to help relieve the current dairy physical crisis. And I so move.
And seconded by Frank
Crook.
Fiscal.
Did I say fiscal?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Fiscal crisis.
And seconded by Frank Proto. Is there discussion on Resolution I? Dooley Kiefer, then Jim, then Leslin.
I found myself really unfamiliar with all of the bulleted programs that are in the first resolve, with one exception. And I have no idea if these are really the best thing we could be asking the federal government to do. So I hurriedly crafted a shorter version of the main resolved in an attempt to describe the kinds of measures I would feel comfortable supporting without specifying that these particular ones are the things that have to happen. And that substitute resolution is in your packet. And relative to that substitute resolution, pre-meeting this evening, my seatmate here, Pam Mackesy, who chairs the planning committee, told me I had left out something terribly important in my short list, namely the first bullet, which talks about funding for increased payments from the Milk Income Loss Contract Program. I have no idea what that is, but if that is really a source of funding for immediate relief, I'm willing to add additional payments from the MILC program to my list of short things that are examples of what should happen. I also put in language that said that this is the dairy portion of our agricultural economy in Tompkins County, and I wanted these things to happen right away. So that's the burden of what my substitute is, and I'd like to offer it.
So we have your substitute without the milk additional wording in there. Is there a second on the substitute, Will Burbank? Discussion on the substitute as becoming the main motion. Will and then Frank.
Yeah, I want to thank Dooley for taking time to draft that. As I was struggling to understand the original resolution, and I spent some time looking into those programs, my essential question was, were those programs equally benefiting all dairy farms, where there's some, you know, was the nature of the program sort of skewing it to large producers versus local, conventional versus organic? I couldn't find that answers to that, and I really felt uncomfortable specifically endorsing programs that I really didn't have an understanding. So I think Julie's language is more general. It certainly recognizes the real crisis that dairy farmers are just struggling to stay in existence. At the same time, the cost of milk has not benefited them. And so I think I would encourage us to do the substitute resolution.
Frank Proto and then Mike Hattery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a clarification on the substitute. The original wording with the bullets, by the way, Dooley, the addition on the fifth whereas about organic, and then your clarification in the next and the last whereas wouldn't create any problem at all. But changing the bulleted parts, the bill that deals with this and Senator Schumer's support, some of this was lifted from what he's proposing. And Cooperative Extension, when they came to the committee, you might recall Mr. Beck was there to help explain each of these items. While I understand, you know, you're trying to improve the resolution with the change in the resolved, I would really suggest sticking with the original bulleted items because it paraphrases some of what the feds are doing.
Could I ask, Frank, you mean this is really in support of a specific federal resolution?
It's in support of some of the effort that Senator Schumer's put forward. I haven't seen, all I've done is read what he's some of what he's proposed. As a matter of fact, tomorrow evening at the Farm Bureau legislative issues meeting, we'll be talking about this very thing again. But I think it would be important to leave it. I've already said this. And Will is absolutely correct. The price of production right now is about $21 a hundredweight. And the price of milk that the farmer's getting is about 11 and a half to 12 bucks a hundredweight. The farmers are losing money, and they're losing it big time. Anybody that's bought feed lately, like some of us have, know that the price of feed has gone up through the ceiling. And there's all kinds of reasons, oil, gas, whatever it happens to be. So support of this, regardless of what the what wording configuration comes up, and I like Pam's addition about at least replacing the MILC piece, is really important. But I, once again, I don't want to be too redundant, Mike. I really would like to stick with the original wording.
Okay, this is dialogue on whether to accept this substitute as an amendment. I have Mike Hattery, then Carol Chalk.
I'm not sure how this got on the committee's agenda, but at some point in time, I think we received an original resolution from Wyoming County asking us to support this. And despite my revulsion for us spending time on support for state and federal initiatives and legislation, I do have a number of dairy farms in my district, and I know this is a serious problem. I sent an email to whose name I'm not going to mention, just because I'll probably botch what he had to say. I didn't know this was going to be a controversial issue, to someone that heads up a dairy farm policy shop at Cornell. And he was very in touch with state and federal initiatives and the dairy policy situation in the federal government. And I believe his response was, boy, you know, I'm surprised how on target each of these items are. And I think they're well stated. And this is an opportune time to, he thinks this may be an opportune time, despite how difficult it is to change policy in this area. So I would agree with Frank. I'd like to stick with the original because I have somebody's opinion on this that knows something about the policy area.
Thank you, Mike. On to Carol, then Pam.
I also, when this came to committee, went looking for what are the policies behind it, and I found some pretty astounding things. Dairy prices are lower now than they have been in four decades, and I found bipartisan support across the gamut from all of our own, both Republican and Democratic congressmen, and New York senators, all the senators from Vermont, including Bernie Sanders, who is making a lot of speeches about this. I thought it was really important that we did amend what came to us in committee to include the resolved about the needing to address the dairy price problem in a long-range way, not just a short-range way. Ultimately, we can't sustain. I've heard prices everything from $15 to $20 or more, a hundredweight that it costs to produce milk and dairy products, and farmers are only getting $11 to $12 a hundredweight now. Obviously, in the long range, we can't sustain that, and I don't think we should sustain it, but there needs to be support now and real look at what the transition will be. And for that reason, and because our resolution does include that, I will support it.
And I have Pam next.
Well, Mike sent me this. I got your email, and Mike, I forwarded it to the planning department and to Monica, and they looked at it. And my idea for bringing this forward was that I feel like we need to support our dairy farmers. As everybody's saying, they're just in terrible shape. And I don't know an enormous amount about policy. I mean, I think I probably have some differences with people on what the current system, what we have. But to me, the most important thing is to just pass a resolution in support of our dairy farmers. This was a resolution that was consistent with the resolution that was passed in Wyoming County, which I think is always makes for a better kind of impact. But I also understand Dooley's concerns, and when I spoke with her earlier today, she was willing to spend the time to look at this and to make it more to her, to something that she could live with. And I really appreciate that and respect that. But in the end, I have decided that I'm going to support the original resolution, so I will not be supporting the substitute resolution.
Any further discussion on the amendment to substitute? Ready to vote. All in favor on the wording suggested by Dooley as amendment to substitute. 1, 2, 3, and opposed. You're supporting, so that's 4 in support.
Yeah.
And opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
you're
8.
Opposed, Pam.
Opposed, keep your hands up. I think there was 4 in favor. There should be 10 opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Correct. Okay, so we're back to the main motion, which was in your agendas.
Now you're in favor.
Dooley Kiefer.
So I just hope the minutes will reflect that I think something needs to be done to seriously change the way we support our dairy industry nationwide. And I'll have to vote against this because I'm too uncomfortable with the details.
All right. I have Dooley, then I have Jim, Leslin, Martha, and Will.
Be careful of those dairy farmers in your district, Dooley. I've had occasion over the last couple of months to actually talk to real live dairy farmers, one in Schuyler, one in Yates, and one north of in Cuba County. Tyke and I were talking about it before this. They're getting per hundred what they were getting in the 70s. And if you buy a combine in 2009 and you buy a combine in 1978, there's a significant difference in the price. And these guys are going under. And you don't need to hear, I have great respect for policy wonks and Chuck Schumer, who probably has never seen a dairy farm, but, you know, that he's actually willing to take this case and try to deal with it. So I would hope that we can support this, because I think this list that we have, these four bullets, is about 1/16th of the number of programs that could possibly be affected by a change. So please support this.
Leslin, being Claiborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could someone please explain for me the second and third bullets, just common sense language, what do they mean? The second bullet on the first resolve.
Mm-hmm. I'll just explain while people were thinking to respond. Moving dairy commodities off the domestic market as quickly as possible by fully utilizing a dairy export incentive program, DEIP, and the Food for Peace program. Who wants to take a crack at that? Carol?
Again, this is my lay understanding from having gone and Googled it and looked at what they seem to be talking about. Right now, let me see how I can do this. Right now, there is more dairy product, more of the commodity, more of the item mm-hmm. is on the market than is selling. So this is a move to enhance the ways in which more of the product will be bought in various ways. So the federal government will buy some of that, and move it off in various ways. The Food for Peace programs internationally. So right. They'll buy it and deliver it to food programs internationally and other ways. Dairy Export Incentive Program, to support the export of our dairy products to other countries. And then the temporary price levels supports to help subsidize, add amounts to what dairy farmers get for it when they sell the product. Is that lay?
That's a lay explanation. Thank you for your best attempt. Pam, do you want to add anything?
Well, I just wanted to add this, that the reason that they wanted to move the dairy commodities off the domestic market is because then the price of milk will go up.
Right.
Yeah. It's because there's a surplus and it's keeping the price of dairy down. So if they move it off and they send it off onto these Food for Peace programs, all this other stuff, then the domestic market, the dairy prices will go up and the farmers will get more money.
Thank you, Pam, and thank you, Carol. It sort of mirrors what I was thinking, so I just wanted to hear somebody else's thoughts. So,
I have Martha next, then Will, then Frank.
Well, I just want to say that this is related to the other PDAC resolution about the green loan program, and we're making our contribution to reducing our carbon footprint with the air conditioning being off tonight. Last meeting we were freezing, and I see Joe's jacket is off, and et cetera. So yeah. Just everybody should know. And anyway, I think I would like to say I appreciate Dooley taking time on the language in the other parts of this resolution. I wonder if it would be considered friendly if we could use the change in the title and the first whereas and the 5th and 6th whereases, and there's a small change in the second resolve. So if the other editorial changes might be incorporated into this one,
The only substantive change was in that resolve.
Pam moved it and Frank seconded. Are those friendly?
Yeah, those are friendly.
Four small changes.
Right.
Title, two whereas changes, and the second resolve change. Okay, people have that incorporated in their regular vote now?
Yeah.
I believe I have one more person to speak, Will Burbank.
And I'm going to pass. So.
Okay, everyone ready to vote with those four small changes on Resolution I? All in favor? And opposed. One opposed. Thank you, Dooley. We are done with it.
I just have wanted to make one thing. One.
Moo. I got mooed.
Someone. Move on over. I just wanted to, one other little thing I wanted to say about in Ed Marks's report to the PDAC committee. He said, in their, talking about their budget, that they have no OTR, is that they have looked at their department and have honed it down and feel that that's the best way to go. So I hope we all keep in mind that there are departments who are not going the OTR route, and when we get into the budget, that we look at, because I think we're going to have both approaches.
All right. Thank you for that heads up.
Over target request, I'm sorry, OTR. Thank you.
We're done with our resolution, so we'll go back to our regular reports. We'll start with Public Safety Committee, Martha Robertson, Chair.
I just want to notice to Paula that it's 7:30. I don't know if she can see the clock. But. All right. Public Safety met yesterday, and I want to note that I have a note to myself to call Cal Walker, so Joel Harlan, if you're listening out there. In Newfield. I will call Cal Walker. That's a good suggestion. We got statistics, as usual, from the sheriff on the population of the jail. Board outs in July were, on average, just 7.5 people. That's good. So even with the... What? Right, you know. Okay. So one day it was 7, the next day it was 8. So... So it's great to keep the population down. Even with the temporary variances, you know, it's still good to be able to keep the population limited there. We had time to speak with Dina Bodner about the ATI evaluation that she's carrying out with DSS. And she had sent all legislators a memo and a timeline and asked for comments. I know Frank did comment to her, sent some questions to her. Urge you all to do that as well as this process goes along. And just to make clear, this was her memo said at the request of Martha Robertson. It was at the request of the Public Safety Committee that this was an initiative that the committee decided to carry out. So we heard from OAR about their bails to date, January to July this year, and they haven't done as many bails. There's a concern about bail inflation in particular for, seems to be especially in the justice courts, the rural courts, and seems to be some things that are kind of out of line, like some misdemeanors with a $5,000 bail. And those are anything over $2,500 they can't even touch. But they're trying to be very conservative and not go into their line of credit. So we're seeing, they estimate that, you know, there are definitely people they could bail if they had more resources, but they're really being extremely cautious this year. Let's see, we heard a brief report about housing for ex-offenders, and that continues to be a problem. Some landlords are we're finding some success, DSS and OER, working with some landlords to bring in some more apartment units available for ex-offenders. But they seem to really mostly go into rural areas because that's where rents are cheaper. Their housing allowance is something like $350 a month if they're on assistance. So you can't get much or anything, say, within this close-in to employment and services in the city for that price. So that continues to be a problem. We heard a report from Sean Martel Moore about the public access defibrillator program, and that's moving along. The facilities folks and the ITS folks have to get together and walk around buildings and point to places and say, yeah, that's a good spot, and go through that process. And she'll report back to us in October on how it's going. We had a resolution for the landline surcharge on the agenda, but we pulled it because it needs some more work. That will, I hope, come back next month. So our next meeting is September 21st at 2:30. And that's my report. I have no resolutions.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Martha. Could I ask those who are working on their computers to at least silence them while we are proceeding with our meeting? I'm going to move on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair.
No report.
No report. On to legislative rule.
Can I say just one little quick thing?
Sure.
We are in the process of interviewing for our project assistant. We got 8 applicants, and we're interviewing 4 individuals. The last interview will be tomorrow evening.
All right. Thank you very much for the update. Legislative Rules and Procedures Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
Thank you. In your red folders, you, I hope, have found a sheet of paper with a lot of bold-faced underlined language and a lot of cross-outs. These are the proposed changes we're recommending for Rule 17 of the Legislative Rules. At the last meeting, I told you that we will be bringing you these in pieces for your consideration rather than hitting you with the whole document at once. And what I hope you'll do is read this and decide it makes a lot of sense. We adopted a lot of the wording that department heads had suggested, but not all of it. We made other changes ourselves. And because this particular rule has been discussed already at more than one meeting of this legislature in a retreat, there is no narrative accompanying this particular handout. We think it's self-explanatory. We hope that there will be a resolution to adopt this changed portion of our rules at the next legislative meeting. But if you read this and have questions, please contact any of the committee members, Frank, Mike Hattery, or myself, and be prepared to discuss and vote on it at the next legislative meeting.
September 1st.
That's right. It's quite soon. Thank you.
Thank you for your good work. Any questions? We'll move on to Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee obviously has met. Just I want to hit some of the highlights from our meeting, the first one being the status of the H1N1 swine flu concerns. Alice Cole gave us quite a report on the state of the vaccine, and I want to report that to you because it's important that you all understand what we're going to be actually tasked with here. I'd like to read some of this to you because it involves certain age groups, and I don't want to get it wrong. The targeted groups that will receive the vaccine are 6 months of age through 24 years of age. People living with or caring for children under 6 months of age, predominantly daycare centers and home daycare center services. Pregnant women, health care and emergency services personnel, and people age 25 through age 64 who have health conditions making them higher risk of complications if they contract the flu. In addition, if I can use the word regular, the regular flu season will be also beginning, and there'll be another series of vaccines for that, probably in October. New York State has said that they hope that they'll have the H1N1 vaccine ready for distribution by the end of October, beginning October to the beginning November, so that at least there'll be a month for distribution. The interesting thing is there's no vaccine at this point. So we're kind of flying blind right now, but we want to get the processes set up. And you've probably read where they're also looking for individuals that can administer the vaccine. Let me keep reading here. The vaccine is a two-dose vaccine, and they're 3 weeks apart. If one does not get the second dose, and there's apparently a feeling that some people might pass on the second dose, all bets are off. Your susceptibility probably will go up because you need both doses in order for it to be effective. More reading. State law that will be effective right now, that healthcare workers and those with extensive contact with patients who've and they're mandated to have flu vaccine will get vaccinations. My understanding are that school teachers will be on the mandatory list because of the concern of the... Nathan, did you hear anything about that at Guthrie? But that we... my understanding is that teachers, because of the heightened incidence and that concentration, will also be receiving it. Stay tuned. It's going to begin. September 1st isn't that far away, folks. But please remember that there's a prescribed age group, and they'll make the vaccine available to people over the age group the minute that there's a substantial amount of vaccine available. The health department will be administering the shots. There will also be vaccine provided to health care providers and doctor's offices. Whether or not they charge a fee, we don't know. The health department has not made a decision on whether they'll charge a fee at this time. Joe, you sat in on that. I think that sort of captures what we heard at the meeting. I'll keep you posted. We have, Alice is very good at putting out blurbs on things like this, and because it affects so much of the community, part of the concern also was with the concentration at the colleges. They're going to be incubators. In addition to that, some of you may have been treated to a word from the word on the street with regard to Lakeside Nursing Home. We had an update just to clarify the status of Lakeside Nursing Home. There was some concern that they were going to close, they were going to be sued, and on and on and on. I had Lisa call the gentleman who's running the show. They are indeed complying with the court-ordered timetable. They're on track. They're not in danger of closing. They are fulfilling their obligation, and they're supposed to be meeting with the court in September for an update. It's as simple as that. They're still taking patients or residents if need be, if there are openings. So there was a scare going around that we nipped in the bud right away. The remainder of the committee meeting was devoted principally to updates on the status of budgets, and having met with Joe at that time, several of the departments had a chance to give us an update. I did have Kathy Slaughter and Nancy Burstyn invited because, you know, we've raised the question from time to time about the agencies and how are they going to be treated in this budget crisis. And they gave us a real preliminary look at what the agencies are doing. They're all tightening their belts. They're trying to respond. Joe's been pretty communicative with through Nancy and through Kathy. So they're trying to stay abreast of what the changes may mean to them. I raised the question also about any agencies that might be thinking of consolidating, because that seems to come up from time to time when there's a budget crisis. Kathy wasn't aware of any. There's one that you will be hearing about if you haven't already. I'm not at liberty to mention it, but because it involves a private funding group. But there are several that are at least looking at the possibility, but nothing is imminent at this point. It's just a question of trying to survive. The next committee meeting is September 11th, and there were other items that took place at the meeting itself, but I wanted to get those out. Bob DeLuca did give us an update on the effect of the state actions on his budget, and some of that was not good. I would like to thank Will for what he said about the health department. I think they do a fine job, and I'm glad that you were able to come away unscathed with that bad incident.
Thank you for your highlights. I see two questions, Will, and then Jim.
Actually, it's an addition, and my apologies to Frank if you noted that. One other thing we heard was that the normal seasonal flu shots will also be administered, but they're going to be administered early. Perhaps you mentioned
earlier.
That's going to be in September.
Yeah.
As someone who does not particularly enjoy getting shots, that creates the anxiety level sooner, but we'll have to be doing this next month.
Thank you, Will. And Jim?
Maybe I missed this when you pulled Resolution F, the rural feeder. I realize and know that there has been much staff time and put together on this, and where is it going to go from being pulled?
It was pulled because it's not ripe. There are several items that need to be addressed. At the TCAT Executive Committee meeting, it was discovered that the individuals that were responsible for putting the feeder service together had not... There's a concern within the contract between the city, the county, and Cornell about the
coordination
of effort.
I understand all that. Where is it going to go from here?
We're waiting for a response from... No one's opposed to the feeder service. We just need clarification on how the feeder service is going to address the STOA question, because it involves funding through that pot. And also we need approvals from the city, the county, and Cornell.
I understand that.
So we should have, I checked with Patricia and to find out what the deadline for the STOA money, I'm sorry, for the JARC money being committed is. She said as long as we have something in place by the end of September, we'll be okay. The however is you can always apply for an amendment at that point, too. But it's our hope we can get this all resolved by the end of September.
Within a month. Any further questions for the report? Thank you, Frank. We move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
Facilities and Infrastructure will meet on Thursday of this week, the 20th, and my colleague, Dudley Kiefer, will be chairing that meeting because I will be away. One of the things that I will urge you all to begin to pay attention to is the new FAA regulations for aircraft rescue and fire and rescue and fighting rules, firefighting rules. That's one of the things that our airport manager and airports around the United States is urging us to oppose, because it adds a significant amount of money, or would add a significant amount of money to their budgets for hiring new staff and expanding buildings, etc. So please pay attention to that as it progresses. But that's my report.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee, Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Yes, thank you. All of our resolutions actually will be in the next legislature meeting agenda because of the timing of our meetings. And one of the resolutions that we passed is support for the HR and payroll program. And we had a presentation from the vendor in which we'll be going with, what was the name?
Lawson.
Lawson. And the program was... exceeded my expectations greatly. There's ability to submit timesheets electronically. You can look at budgeting information by position. look at positions in a whole new way. It's an incredible management tool. It empowers employees. Employees can look up how much vacation time they have, sick time. They can enroll for classes. There's even like a career planner, so that if they want to someday be a supervisor or a manager someday, they can look at what type of competencies that they need to develop and sign up for the adequate training programs in order to develop those competencies. Also there's the ability to enroll for benefits online. Which will save personnel tons of paperwork and hassle. So I think this system is going to really dramatically improve efficiency, and I think in the long run will help us, especially as a management tool, will help us save money in the long run as well. So very exciting, and we'll have that at our next legislature meeting as a resolution. We went over administrative manuals, and I apologize to my colleagues for being somewhat short during that meeting, but not really my forte, but I do appreciate how diligent our legislative and my colleagues on the committee are, especially Dooley. Really, we couldn't do it without her and Paul and Paula, our deputy county administrator, who have both done a very fantastic job on these on updating the administrative manual policies. And so we'll have a resolution on that at the next legislature meeting as well. We talked about our representative to the Tompkins County Healthcare Consortium, and which we passed today. And thank you for that. Am I missing anything from G-Power?
No.
Is that it?
Pretty thorough.
Yeah.
In short.
Carol, quick question.
I just have a question about whether there's anywhere that we can go to see this new proposed payroll system. Is there an online website or something that we could look at?
Yeah, they talked about it. Go to Lawson.com and you'll find out. The information I have that Microsoft used to be in the business, and they got out of business because of these guys.
Yeah.
And they're the primo group in the country doing this kind of thing, especially for HR.
Yeah, and they have a large public sector wing, but we will be, like, I think the first or second, county in New York State to be using this.
Martha Robertson.
Well, a similar question. Is that... would it make any sense for the representative to come here, or was it something that personnel department was able to, or finance department was able
to? Well, the presentation was given to department heads during the first part of the day, and so department heads were able to see that. And then also at the GPWR committee, I mentioned at the last legislature meeting that legislators were welcome at the beginning of the meeting to check out the system.
Right. As I'm asking is, could we get a 10-minute presentation at the next legislature meeting, or would that involve bringing somebody from out of town for 10 minutes?
I'm not sure.
I think they're St. Paul and Atlanta-based, so they flew in for the purpose of this presentation. We'll find out. There probably is a sample online that we can...
Maybe we could all go down there in January.
I think you probably have an online sample that we can... All in favor? All right. If there's no further questions, it's the end of our regular committee reports. Who would like to move the minutes for two previous meetings, June 16th and July 21st? Martha Robertson moves it. Frank Proto seconds. Is there any changes, discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? It was passed unanimously. We will have an executive session tonight for personnel matters. We do not anticipate any action out of that executive session. This is following up on our performance evaluations for direct reports. And I have copies of what was sent to you last Friday for your review during the break. We'll break for about 5 minutes while the cameras break down. Motion for executive session. Jen moves it. Martha seconds. All in favor? Any opposed? No opposed? That opposed. Passes with one opposed.
What a rebel.